Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, profhearingcare.com. By the Castle Rock Beatonwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-beatonwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, woodsideranch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Lake Michigan report, and getting ready for archery deer season. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And by the way, all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, Jeff Kelm joins me, this time from Wisconsin Rapids, his home base. Well, howdy, stranger.
Hey, good to be here finally.
Yeah, boy, you have been on the road nonstop. Now, you're doing more tournaments this year because they've added some to your schedule or what?
Well, you know, between the Masters Walleye Circuit and the National Walleye Tour and all the other events, we just have them kind of spaced out a little differently. Last year was about the same amount, but we did have two events or four events, two different weeks where we had back-to-back events in the same week where we were going like Monday, Tuesday for an event or Tuesday, Wednesday for an event and then Thursday, Friday or Friday, Saturday. So we were able to kind of combine those. That wasn't the way we wanted to do it because that's not a really good way to do it. This is a little easier logistics wise, but does keep us busy all summer long.
Yeah, and so you have had two back-to-back now, two successive weeks, one in Oconto and one over in Michigan. How did those go?
Yeah, so Oconto National Walleye Tour, it was a tough bite like we all thought it would be. That's a tough time of year to fish Green Bay. The amount of alewives in that system are incredible. The walleyes don't like eating when they are already full. So definitely a challenging bite. We had quite a few boats not hand in fish over the course of the 2 days. But Eric McCoy came out on top, a young man who's got a heck of a fishing pedigree. His dad and his grandpa both fished competitively walleye fishing. His dad still does it. His dad finished in somewhere in the top 10, I do believe. But he was sitting in first place after day one. So it was two McCoyds. And a Woodkey, Danny Woodkey, who's a local up there who's won many tournaments off of Green Bay. And, it was fun to be there. Eric's a great kid, great family, hard not to, to root for him. And then, Masters Walleye Circuit over in Augrey, Michigan. Didn't have a whole lot of boats. There's been a lot of events over there. I think people are just a little burnt out of having to take off of work, and maybe that's what it was. People just had to get back to work at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a blow day on the second day, canceling that day. Weather looked even worse for Sunday, so generally speaking, we'll skip a day and go a Sunday, but that wasn't going to be the plan. So we ended up calling it. It was a one-day shootout, 22 pounds, 12 ounces, the guys that won it actually just recently won another event over there. So they kind of knew what they were looking forward to doing on Saginaw Bay, and they were successful at doing it.
Yeah, all right. Are those bigger walleyes than what you see on Green Bay, or pretty much the same?
I would say it's a little bit smaller unless they can get to Thunder Bay at this time of year. If they can get all the way up to Alpena, there are fish very similar to Green Bay, and they fish very similar to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So, but the weather was not conducive to making long runs like that. So everybody kind of settled for some cookie cutter, you know, fours to four and a half.
Yeah. Good eating size.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, plans for this weekend. Now, the 4th is, by the time this is on the air, the 4th is behind us, but we've got a whole weekend. So
yeah,
what you got going on?
Some BMX racing, possibly, if we can get me in between the raindrops.
Yeah.
And really just got to stay focused on a couple things going on in life. We'll talk a little bit more about it right here in the future. But yeah, I got some stuff cooking that we got to make sure we stay focused on.
Some pretty exciting news, and we'll hold that for later. So, all right. Well, you mentioned raindrops. Holy mackerel, we got 3 inches between Monday and Tuesday of this week, and standing water in the pastures, high muddy water in the dry creek, which it's a flashy situation.
Yeah.
It's up in an hour and down in the next hour. It's just amazing.
Wow.
So we keep moving the sheep to higher ground and from one paddock to the next. I can't move them fast enough to keep up with the eating of the grass, so
sure.
I'm moving them, you know, as quickly as we think we can and or should, and mowing behind them, and it's, you know, it's a nice problem to have, but it's a totally different summer from last year, and I've been cutting a lot of thistle. I'm trying to get rid of as much of it as I can. We don't spray, so it's a labor-intensive project, just like mm-hmm. any other project. So, and we saw one turkey brood, Deadeye did, down the road. Have you seen any?
I have seen some, only a few. I think the grass is so darn long because of the rain. I think we're just not seeing them because we can't see them.
Yeah, I guess they're hiding well in that tall grass. Well, folks, coming up, Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welch is into the Kings now off Sheboygan on Lake Michigan. And in the Madison Report, J.C. Chamberlain of Pappas Trading Post offers advice for preseason scouting for bow season. And DNR fish biologist Aaron Schiller talks about the new fish passage designed to help fish get past the Clutch Park Dam on the Milwaukee River. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer 4 seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeteandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Lake Michigan fishing report brought to you by Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store. They're located on South Pier Drive, right there in Sheboygan, and also on the web at dumperdan.com. and you'll find updates on his Facebook page, including this report and every other report that we record this year. And our second sponsor this week is Dave's Who's In, 835 Indiana Avenue, and on Facebook at Dave's Who's In. And joining us from Sheboygan, 3 weeks in a row, Dumper Dan Welsh. Well, Dan, how are you? And it's like, you know, maybe we just need a hotline where we don't have to dial. We just punch the button.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great that I talk to you every week, Dan, and I want to keep everybody updated on the bites here on Lake Michigan, and yeah, it's great to be back. It's been a good time here. Fishing has been just fantastic.
What are you catching now?
Well, we switched all the way over to king fishing right now. We were coho's and we were lake trout for a little while. Now it's 100% king salmon fishing right now, and we have just a ginormous school of kings here off the port of Sheboygan, and I really mean that. It's unbelievable, and we go out and we're getting limits of kings like we were, you know, in May with coho's, but the difference is these fish are 15 to 25 pounds a piece, and it's hard to get the coolers off the boats at times. They're so full and so heavy with these king salmon, but the bite is just awesome. I mean, just a lot of fun and easy to get to. We're fishing 100 feet of water, basically, straight out of Sheboygan, a little north, a little south, but straight out, and fishing them suspended down 40 to 80 feet, and they're there, and they're stacked up like cordwood, and they're swimming amongst all the bait fish, and we're catching them. It's really, really good right now.
Well, that's great. What are you trolling with to catch them?
Wire divers are favorite. They're a dipsy diver, a slide diver, wire setup that digs deep and goes down, kind of like a downrigger. The downrigger's been good too, but the wire divers have been the best. We're running some copper board setups, 150 and 200, and some 250 coppers, getting them down suspended. Also running lead core off planer boards too with spoons for some coho, yet some rainbow mixed in. So yeah, a good variety yet of some fish up high, but we're mainly targeting these kings for the most part and running these sets down suspended right through the bait fish and getting these king salmon. Water temperature is just a primo 55 degrees down 50 feet. I mean, that's like the perfect temperature, and that's where these fish are all stacked up. Good speed for the kings are about 2.3 to 2.6 miles per hour for these fish. Rotating flasher fly combinations, the 8-inch flasher with the green fly, green flasher, silver blade flasher, white flasher, all green flies is working well on these wire divers, downriggers, and copper board setups for the kings. But then always throw a few spoons out because you can always catch a king or a rainbow or a coho on a spoon as well.
Now, you mentioned bait fish. Are these alewives?
Yeah, these are alewife. They're all different sizes, so we have different year classes here, which is very important and a good thing. So some of the bait fish are 4 inches, some are 8 inches, so different year classes of bait fish. It's really cool, Dan, to look at the graph on the dash of my charter boats and just see. I point it out to customers all the time, you know, the big walls of bait fish, and there'll be hook marks in there, which are the salmon, and then all of a sudden you troll through that, and you get two or three bites at one time. It's just awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Now, last week you said you had a problem. The coolers were too full, and that's with a mixed bag. Now with 15-pound salmon, I don't know how you're doing it. You need two coolers on each boat.
Yeah, we do, and yeah, we got flush mount coolers in a lot of my charter boats, and they're filling both sides. Yeah, it's been unbelievable, and our fish cleaners have been working overtime to get the job done, which they've done a great job of. But yeah, if you and honestly want to see all this, go to our Facebook page, because we are so busy on the Facebook page. I'm posting 10 to 25 pictures a day of our customers. Our customers text me their pictures too, and I put them up, which is cool because they can see themselves when they get home on Facebook, or their neighbors or friends can, coworkers. But check these fish out. I mean, they're just unbelievable. They're 35 to 45 inches long. They're anywhere from 14 pounds up to 25 pounds each, and they're just good, solid, healthy, big king salmon.
Fantastic. Now, you had some pool players out last week. You play pool in the winter months when you're not fishing?
I do. Yeah, that's one of my winter hobbies. You know, fishing is my summer business and hobby as well, which I enjoy doing and been doing it for 40 plus years. But pool is my go-to in the winter. I got a really nice diamond pool table in my basement that I practice on. But I met these two. They live in Oshkosh, and they're professional pool players, and they are the best in the world, and they play with the best in the world. They play in the Tyler plays in Moscone Cup every year, and he's ranked very high. And his wife, Margaret, it's Tyler and Margaret Steyer from Oshkosh. They are in-house pro players at the varsity club in Oshkosh. But I do take lessons from them, and I do take them fishing, and they love fishing, and they love the outdoors, and that's kind of their downtime when they're not playing pool, which they do a lot of all over the place, all over the country, and big tournaments. The World Tournament Tyler was just in, but I had them out fishing and took them out. Margaret caught her biggest fish ever. It was a 22-pound, 45-inch long king salmon. It's on our Facebook page. They had a ball, and we took some videos. They had a hard time reeling some of them fish in. I mean, they ran out 300-400 yards of line two, three times, and good fighting fish, and they went home with some really nice fillets for the girl. So looking forward to shooting some pool with them and getting them out again on a future day.
And I understand they had some hits on their Facebook page.
Yeah, they did. They tagged me, and within 2 hours, they had 20,000-plus people.
Ooh, wow.
They had about 900 likes in like 2 hours. It was just amazing. And they reached out to Shane Van Bonen, which I'm trying to get here. He's number one in the world right now. He won 8, 9, and 10 ball tournaments. He's number one, ranked one. And Tyler and him are on the Moscone Cup team together, which will be in December again this year against the Europeans. I'm trying to get him here. He's from South Dakota. He loves lake trout fishing. I'd like to get them on board, all of them, sometime to do some waker fishing, because we got some fantastic big lake trout here up Port of Sheboygan, and I think you would enjoy that. But yeah, it was a good time to have them on board, and they went home with some nice fish, and hopefully we get Shane here in the future.
All right. Well, our second sponsor this week is Dave's Who's In, a very familiar sponsor for you, and also your winter home for pool, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They got multiple pool tables there. I shoot league at his place, sometimes some tournaments. Miniature bowling there. A lot of my customers just had a group in-house here yesterday, stayed in my condos for 3 nights, and they went over and bowled there. And then they have dart boards, gambling machines, a good menu for burgers and chicken and fish fries. You can see it right from our place. Dave does a great job, and yeah, definitely go over there and partake in what he all has to offer.
You can see much of what's going on in Sheboygan from Dumper Dan's dock, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the riverfront's just awesome here with a lot of opportunities for different things to do and see while you're in Sheboygan.
Well, Dan, we're going to let you go. Are we going to give you a week off, or are you back again next week?
I'll be back if you want me to. If you got room for me, I'm always in for a fishing report, because I want to keep people updated. And we have a lot of great sponsors here this year that do this for us. Yeah, we'll get the sponsors going, and we'll get fishing reports and pictures out, and check out our Facebook page. I'll be back again next week if you got a spot for me. If not, 2 weeks here, and hopefully we got some good weather and good fishing. Month of June was just fantastic, so we're hoping for the same in July.
All right, well, we'll check the schedule, and I'll be in touch for sure. And to reach you, the phone number is the best way, right?
It's the best way. I'm trying to keep caught up on emails. They're a little slower, you know, with the typing and emails, but I'm doing my best with that. But the phone's quick. I can get what you need instantly at 920-377-1147. That's my number at Dumper Dan's, otherwise DumperDan.com. On the internet and our Facebook page, obviously, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. But give us a call. Get on out here. We do have some openings in July, and we have openings in August and September as well. Get on out here and have some fun on Lake Michigan with us.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much. We will be in touch real soon, and hope the fishing continues to be as hot as it is right now.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you.
You bet. Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Report from Sheboygan. His website, DumperDan.com. And Dave's Who's In, second sponsor, Dave's Who's In on Facebook as well. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at DanSmallOutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Madison Outdoors Report brought to you by Pappas Trading Post. They are Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer, and they're located on State Highway 14, just west of Arena and about a half hour west of Madison. You can also find them on the web at pampastradingpost.com. And joining us once again is wildlife biologist and Trading Post archery guru, J.C. Chamberlain. J.C., thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
2.5 months to bow season. It's hard to believe, but it's creeping up on us pretty fast. What should we be doing now?
This is the time of year that I know not everybody has necessarily broken out the equipment, but definitely a time of year that would be really advantageous to. Gives us a lot more time to work on them if something needs to be done. So I would say break out the bow, crossbow, shoot it a few times, take a good look over it, make sure everything's working properly, and you know, if it's not or you find you need some work done, definitely now is the time to get it in.
And what do you look for when you're checking over your bow? Obviously, it's got to shoot straight, your sight's got to be tight, but beyond that?
If you haven't had it out, you know, when you pull it out, the first thing I would look at would be strings and cables. Make sure that there's not any points of, like, severe wear. Usually, it's a crossbow, like, center serving, and then if you look at the cables right by the cam, typically those are two spots that are pretty prone to having issues. And really, honestly, same thing on a compound, just because there's such wear points from going around the cams. And then the other thing would be the center where it would go through the roller guard or cable slide. That would be another spot to really check over, make sure there's nothing frayed or in some cases even cut through.
As you might remember, I had an issue with a string on my crossbow a couple years ago, and I didn't realize that they wear out a little faster than a regular bowstring, don't they?
Yeah, with most crossbows, honestly, I would recommend stringing cables at least every 2 years, you know, after every two seasons. Some of the models, especially the newer ones that are super fast and have a high draw weight, those you're going to want to change basically every year for the most part, especially if you do any shooting or, you know, even leaving them cocked when you're sitting in the tree just hunting during the season is enough stress that they can stretch out and not perform very well. So.
And any of those repairs you can do right there, right?
Absolutely. We can put strings and cables on pretty much any crossbow out there. And most of Mission 10 Point and the Raven, which are the three companies we carry, most all that stuff we should have in stock.
Okay. Well, let's talk about getting ready for the season on the ground out there. For folks who have their own land or access to private land, I suppose food plots is something they probably already should be in, but there's a chance to put in fall plots as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. We still have plenty of time to get plots in there. A lot of the guys have probably already gotten their early season plots or clover, alfalfa stuff in. But this is actually a great time to, if you have a spot in the woods or, you know, maybe you're putting in a new spot, it's a great time to get things started to prep and get them going. Most of the fall plots, honestly, I usually don't put in until probably the end of this month at the earliest.
Okay.
But prep for them now is key. You know, we're still 1st of July. If you figure 2 weeks to get things prepped, you hit it just about right. And then if you're putting in, you know, some of your cereal grains and stuff later, that can actually go in, you know, middle to end of August, even first week of September.
All right. Well, and what about water holes? We've talked about that a lot in the past, but this year there's water everywhere. Is it still worth creating a water hole if you don't have one on your land?
If you don't have one and, you know, and there's not standing water anywhere, even if there is, honestly, I think it's worth putting one in if you got a good spot for it. Even on wet years, you'll find that, especially once they've been established, that those deer just, it's habitual for them, so they will go back to it year in and year out. So definitely still worth it.
And how close would you put a stand, a shooting stand, to an actual water hole?
With the stands, I usually like to try to be about 20 yards, 25. Don't typically like to be any further than that. And closer, there's just, at water, it draws the deer in, but they are typically pretty skittish around it, just because it's a point of predation for them. They don't feel, you know, as comfortable. But that would be my recommendation anyways, right around that 20 to 25 yards.
So you're talking shooting distance, but not too close to crowd them.
Correct. Yep. And then that keeps your scent away. You know, if you have to move a little bit or something, you're a little more likely to not have an issue, where if you're really close, it just makes it that much tougher to get drawn or get swung around on them.
Would you put two stands over a water hole or, say, a small food plot that you might use depending on the wind?
It definitely wouldn't hurt. You know, we've got some that are set up with water holes in them and food plots, and then I've got some that are just a standalone water hole. Stand-wise, it would really depend on the situation. Most of the stands that we've got in, I would have one stand for that water hole at least over it, just with the way that things lay out. Don't really have a spot where we could do separate winds because of entrance and exit. But if you can do that, that would be phenomenal, for sure.
And early in the season, is it worth hunting a water hole all day long, or is this a morning and evening thing?
It's going to depend a little bit. If it's out in the open, a lot of times I will only hunt it early or late, typically late if it's early season, in the evening or so. If it is one that's, you know, pretty close to a bedding area, but you can get in and out without bumping deer, then, you know, that's a spot that definitely could be used all day long, especially if it's super hot out.
Now, we've talked about water holes, but how do you make one besides digging a hole with a shovel or bringing a backhoe in?
For the most part, that's what I've done, is hand dig them. There's a couple spots that we've been able to get, like, a small tractor in with a bucket where we could get it started. And then I actually usually will use like a 100 or 110 gallon cattle tank and just bury them. And there's some other options out there. I know Randy's got a fiberglass tank that they make special for deer. It's not quite as deep, but I believe it's about an 80 gallon that he's got. You know, anything smaller than like 80, 100 gallon, it can be a little tough because you got to fill it constantly. Usually the bigger tanks you can get away with a couple times a year.
And letting the rain fill them as well?
And then, well, like this year, I think we filled them about the end of March, maybe, right around there. And we haven't had to touch them since. Kind of nice that way.
I would imagine this year, yeah, for sure. All right, and then shooting practice, that's something we all should be doing once the bow is tuned and ready to go.
Yeah, shooting is number one key thing. One, it keeps us, some activity keeps us physically fit and healthy, but biggest thing is that muscle memory. Even if it's only a handful of arrows every couple of days or every 3 days, something like that, it's still going to be enough to kind of keep that muscle memory in there and get us started so that we're not completely trying to cram it all in at the very end.
And that's probably the best way to find out if your bow needs any work.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty quick check. You know, I would say give it a session, maybe two. If everything's in good shape, before we would start blaming the bow for not shooting right, if we haven't shot it for a while, because usually it's us, not always the equipment. You know, if you shot a little bit, got back in the groove of things, and things aren't really going well, then I would definitely say get it in, get it checked out.
All right. Well, before we let you go, store hours?
We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and then Saturday, 9 to 5.
All righty. Well, we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. And meanwhile, I hope you get a chance to get out there and do a little scouting. Maybe we'll hit on scouting next time.
Yeah, that would be a great topic. I know I got to get out and get some food plot work done and some stands up yet.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll talk to you then. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. J.C. Chamberlain with the Madison Report from Pappas Trading Post. They are located on Highway 14. That's just west of Arena, Wisconsin. And you'll find them also on the web at pappastradingpost.com. You can also give them a call. Their number is 608-753-2022. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeteandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan
Find some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads. Classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Aaron Schiller. He's a DNR fish biologist who works on both Lake Michigan and some of the inland waters from Sheboygan down to the Milwaukee area. And Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Oh, my pleasure. It's nice talking with you again, Dan.
Yeah, you and I had a chance to fish together on Lake Michigan last summer. One day out with Dumper Dan, and we caught a number of fish that day, as I recall.
Yeah, I think we got rained out after a good start to the morning.
Yeah, that happens, and I think it's happening a lot more this year than last year. That was an unusual storm, but this year it seems to be happening all the time.
Yeah, I got caught out on it again today dealing with a sturgeon trailer. So I feel like more of my field days have gotten wet this year than the past couple of years combined.
Well, we hope that this is an anomaly like last year might have been. I want to talk to you about the Clutch Dam project there and the fish passage that was finished last December, I believe. First of all, how is the high water affecting that, if at all?
The high water has actually been really good for the fish passage. The fish have trouble getting above Esterbrook Falls right now on low water.
Mm-hmm.
So this spring we didn't have any large melt-off event from snow. We didn't have much, if any. So we didn't have high spring flows. We didn't have big rain events. But we are getting some big rain events now, which allows fish to get over Esterbrook Falls. And it was a little bit later than we anticipated, but we are seeing fish use it. I actually got a sturgeon tag detection on one using it yesterday.
Uh-huh. Well, Aaron, we should probably give a little history to this project before we get into more detail. Talk about the dam. That dam at Clutch Park has been there since the 1930s, hasn't it?
Yep, that was a man-made dam there. It was actually designed to look like Niagara Falls a little bit with the wave in there. That's been there for a long time, and it needed some updating. There used to be adjustable on the east side, and that was all sedimented in and was no longer functioning. And they were required to fix the dam, and that's what kind of brought up conversation about putting in a fish passage around it, because the fish could not get, at least our native species, could not get over that dam unless the water was extremely high for a long time now. Having to fix that dam opened the opportunity to get in a fish passage in that area.
I have a long history with the dam myself, and I'm not sure if you know that. We used to record our open and close for Outdoor Wisconsin, my PBS TV show, right there where the fish passage is now, right at the edge of that east side of the dam. And people would always ask me, where is that waterfall? I wouldn't tell them because it was private property. We knew the owners and we had access to it. And for years we recorded there and even downriver from there. But that's all gone now. And the fish passage was created. I understand they looked at doing a passage on the west bank as well.
They looked and discussed many options and briefly brought up dam removal, which was met with extreme opposition. It is a big attraction in the area. It's a cool dam. We looked at options on the west side. With that steep slope there, it was really tough to design that to have low enough slope that our native fish could use it without making a huge impact to the park on that side. So that was not a favored option either. We looked how to do it maybe up the center without cutting out the whole dam, and that didn't work for engineering. So working with MMSD and the county and the city and some of the private landowners, they found a way to acquire a piece of land on the east side that gave us enough room combined as a group, you know, all of the agencies together with some cooperation of some private landowners to make that happen on the east side.
Yeah, and so now it's there and it's functioning. You said you had a tagged sturgeon use it. You mentioned native species. What species are you talking about in particular that couldn't get over the dam? I saw salmon and steelhead get up that dam many, many times over the years. Not all of them made it, but they could make it. But what native species are we talking about?
We engineered the fish passage so that lake sturgeon and northern pike could use that fish passage to get around the dam during their spawning times. The reason we selected those two species is because they're notoriously poor swimmers, and especially northern pike, they migrate up right after ice out, so the water's really cold.
Mm-hmm.
So their metabolism is slower, and they don't have the jumping ability that a steelhead or a salmon does, and they don't have long, sustained swimming speed ability. So they can swim fast for a short amount of time, but not for long stretches. So when we designed the fishway, we went through many iterations, what the fish passage does is a series of riffles, you know, fast water, and then pools. They go up about 3/4 to 1 foot in each riffle, so it breaks it up into little chunks for them so they can go up a little bit at a time to get the 6-foot difference from below the dam to above the dam in a manageable way. Because sturgeon and northern pike are the worst swimmers, if we design it for them, then all of the other species that migrate when the water's warmer or have better swimming ability, they should all be able to use that as well. So even though we designed it for the northern pike and sturgeon, we've seen smallmouth bass, walleye. I haven't seen any peg suckers use it yet, but I'm sure they will in time.
Okay, and this would then allow these fish to reach upriver areas where there's good spawning habitat, and would that improve the fishery as well?
Yeah, so obviously if there's more spawning, we'll have more fish in the system, but it also increases connectivity, so those fish can go downstream using that fishway as well, and then make it back upstream. So if there's an extreme drought, and there's not enough deeper water in the river, it would give these fish opportunity to go downstream and take cover in the lake where the water is deeper and cooler. And then when the river comes back up, then they can use that fishway to get back to the section of the river they normally would. So it can open up a lot more habitat for them beyond spawning, you know, winter habitat or summer habitat that may be limiting on an extreme warm or an extreme cold year.
Uh-huh. How long is the fish passage, and describe just what it looks like for people who've never seen it? I've seen aerial photos and I'm familiar with the area, but for folks who don't know.
From the sky, it looks like an M with both legs of the M touching the river, one downstream of the dam and one upstream of the dam. So the reason it meanders is because we needed the length. It's probably 200 feet long. We needed the length to slow that water down enough to allow the poorer swimming fish to be able to swim through those riffles and get up through that. If you have it in a straight line, it's a shorter distance, and then they have to go up bigger steps, right? So think of stretching it out into more steps, but the steps themselves are smaller. That's what we achieve by putting a meander in there.
Now, this will be inaccessible to people, right? It's off limits to hikers or fishermen.
Yes, is we made it a fish refuge for the time being. I believe the fish refuge will stay. That'll be a permanent rule. But for right now, it's not publicly accessible over there either. It's surrounded by private land. There has been talk about maybe eventually opening it up, but that'll be up to the city or the county on how they manage those lands over there. But right now, at least till everything is growing up and established, we're not planning on public access. The main focus of the project was for fish passage. If we have a main attraction of people standing over the fishway, it is fairly shallow. We don't want it to deter fish from using that. We want them to use it as freely as they would like.
Okay. Now, for fishermen who are used to fishing below the dam, how do they access that river now?
So the access from the west, from the Clutch Park side, is still as normal. You know, they can fish all the way up to that island. The fish refuge goes from the part of the dam that juts out downstream to the tip of the island, and then it goes to the east, just downstream of the fishway. So it's from 30 feet downstream of the fishway, all the way up to 30 feet upstream of the fishway, and then it extends westward to the north end of that island on the downstream side of the dam.
Okay.
There's one corner that some guys had fished that is no longer legal to fish.
That's on the east side?
Correct.
But anywhere else you could still fish?
Yes. We tried to only block off as much area as we think was necessary for those fish to use that. And that little pocket there, I know it was a popular fishing spot, but that's our attraction flow so that those fish can find the mouth of the fishway.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did Steelhead use it this spring? I would assume they did.
Yes, we tried to get some tags in Steelhead early. We did get three that went through the fishway, but we only tagged about a dozen of them. So we did document three of them using them, and then one of them actually used it on the way downstream as well. Two of them did. So it was unique to see them use it in both directions.
Okay, so it's working then.
Yeah, the steelhead were the first fish that we had in there, and then we had northern pike, walleye, smallmouth bass, and finally lake sturgeon.
All right, so you're hitting all the major species you were hoping to.
Yeah, so in less than a year we've documented successful fish passage using that new fishway, which is great.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with the Milwaukee River, we're talking about 30 miles of river from the mouth up to the Bridge Street Dam in Grafton, right?
Yep, there have been many dam removals on the Milwaukee River. The biggest one was the North Avenue Dam. That's at, like, River Mile 3. Esbrook Dam was removed. Lime Kiln Dam was removed. That's up in Grafton. And then there's another fish passage around the Mequon-Thiensville Dam. There's now two fish passages, and there's one remaining barrier at Esterbrook Falls.
Okay. Is there any plan to do anything with the dam in Grafton?
There has not been talk about doing anything with the dam in Grafton. I think relatively recently they repaired that dam, so they won't be up for any repair or changes that are mandated in the near future. But if anybody was interested in talking about fish passage or dam removal, I would be open to having those conversations. But we would have to go through a lot of public input and cooperation with the city before taking on a project of that size.
Yeah, and it's right there in downtown Grafton, and yeah.
Yeah, that's the big barrier. No invasive species or native species are getting around or over that one. No introduced, you know, salmon, trout can't get above that one either. That's the end of the road. But the good news is there's some good spawning habitat up near Grafton and that upper stretch of the Milwaukee River that those fish can get to now using the current fish passages.
Yes, that is good news indeed. Well, Aaron, for folks who are not familiar with the river or this project, where can they learn more?
A lot of the projects that we're working on the Milwaukee area and the Milwaukee area of concern are on the Waterway Restoration Partnership webpage, mkewaterwaypartners.org, and you can find this one under Clutch Dam Fish Passage. So you can click projects there and you'll see all the things that are being worked on in that area of concern.
Very good. Aaron, thank you so much. I used to fish that river regularly when I lived over there, and I hope to get back this fall maybe and see if the salmon come up and if I can hook into one again.
It was my pleasure. feel free to call back anytime. I love to talk about the Milwaukee River and all the fantastic work that's happening right now.
Yes, very good. Thank you, and we'll be in touch. Aaron Schiller is a fisheries biologist with Wisconsin DNR, and you can learn all about the Kletch Dam Fish Passage Project and other projects on the Milwaukee River at mkewaterwaypartners.org. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. They have a big inventory clearance sale on all new boats of all brands going through July. Check out their website for details. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, profhearingcare.com. By the Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, CastleRock-PeteandWell.com, and by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, WoodsideRanch.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you happen to live, you can always watch past episodes at MilwaukeePBS.org. And the last several years of the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV show are archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
You can find this show online in a number of different places. Check out lake-link.com. They have an outdoor radio page that you can download this show and take it with you. You can also check out outdoornews.com/podcasts and download it there. We'd be happy to have you take us wherever you venture in the coming days.
That's right. And the deadline to apply for Upriver Lakes sturgeon spearing tags is August 1st. Now, that's the Winnebago system. It's Poygan, Winneconne, and Butamore. You can also purchase a preference point instead of applying for a permit. They have only 500 permits to issue, and it's a random drawing, much like turkey and some others, bear and others as well. And if you apply and are not drawn, you'll get a preference point toward the next drawing. Successful applicants will be notified by October 1st. And, of course, you can apply using your Go Wild account or at any licensed sales location. For more information, visit the DNR website, keywords, sturgeon spearing. And don't forget, there will be wardens and other law enforcement on our lakes this weekend, making sure boaters are safe. It's part of a nationwide effort called Operation Dry Water. They're talking about operating under the influence. It's a violation in boating just as it is in driving, so be safe out there. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Warren and friends are performing Riding the Wind at Big Top Chautauqua this Saturday. That's today for a lot of listeners. And they'll be back at the Big Top on July 26th with Song for the Wild. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. For Big Top tickets and info, visit bigtop.org. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy ack is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling.